4 years later, Hitchcock made Rebecca with Joan Fontaine and Laurence Olivier. Fontaine, at 21, was taking her first leading role, and she was horribly nervous about playing opposite Olivier, who was widely recognized as an actor of genius. Another director might have eased her insecurities, but Hitchcock was seemingly doing the opposite. He chose to pass along gossip from the rest of the cast and crew. No one thought she was up to the job, he told her, and Olivier had really wanted his wife, Vivien Leigh, to get her part. Fontaine felt terrified, isolated, unsure, exactly the qualities of her character in the film. She hardly needed to act. And her memorable performance in Rebecca was the start of a glorious career. Clearly, Hitchcock mistrusted language and explanation, preferring action to words as a way of communicating, and this preference extended to the form and content of his films. That gave his screenwriters a particularly hard time. After all, putting the film into words was their job. In story meetings, Hitchcock would discuss the ideas he was interested in, themes like people's doubleness, their capacity for both good and evil, the fact that no one in this world is truly innocent. The writers would produce pages of dialogue expressing these ideas eloquently and subtly, only to find them edited out in favor of actions and images. In Vertigo, 1958, and Psycho, 1960, for example, Hitchcock inserted mirrors in many scenes. In Spellbound, 1945, it was shots of ski tracks and other kinds of parallel lines. The murder in Strangers on a Train, 1951, was revealed through its reflection in a pair of glasses. For Hitchcock, evidently, images like these revealed his ideas of the doubleness in the human soul better than words did, but on paper, this seemed somewhat contrived. On set, the producers of Hitchcock's films often watched in bewilderment as the director moved the camera, not the actors, to stage his scenes. It seemed to make no sense, as if he loved the technical side of filmmaking more than dialogue and the human presence. Nor could editors fathom his obsession with sounds, colors, the size of the actors' heads within the frame, the speed with which people moved. He seemed to favor these endless visual details over the story itself. And then the film would be a finished product, and suddenly, everything that had seemed peculiar about his method made perfect sense. Audiences often responded to Hitchcock's films more deeply than they did to the work of any other director. The images, the pacing, the camera movements swept them along and got under their skin. A Hitchcock film was not just seen, it was experienced, and it stayed in the mind long after the viewing.